Welcome to American Reds, Tribal Rant's unofficial podcast for the FX series, The Americans. I'm Michelle.
And I'm Mike.
And tonight we're so excited to be podcasting The Americans, Season 4, Episode 5, Clark's Place. The air date was April 13th, and we know why it had that title.
Yes, we do. They were having some issues at his place.
Yep.
Potential issues at his place.
His place has been found out.
Yeah. By the FBI is outside.
Clark's place.
Yeah. The FBI is now sitting outside Clark's extra apartment in an LTD.
Yep.
Yeah, that's not good.
No, it's not a good thing.
You know what? Martha's my girlfriend.
Martha is?
I'm telling you why. She is. She's stealing the show.
I know. Is she?
I think she is. She's so believable in her character. She's doing it so well. She's putting in such great performances. I am in love. I'm sorry, dear. I know we've been married 30 years plus. I'm in love with Martha.
Well, I got a confession. I love her a little bit, too. She is incredible. I never thought Martha, at the beginning, when they first brought this character on, would be the one to steal the show in this way.
No, I didn't either.
And I'm just...
Yeah, very, very... very pleasantly surprised every episode.
Pleasantly surprised, and I'm also kind of horrified because I don't know what's going to happen to Martha.
I'm really worried. Well, you know, Clark's pretty protective of Martha. We'll talk about that.
He is, but Clark only has so much power, as we've seen.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. I think it's funny he still wears his disguise in and out of her place.
Well, he has to.
I know. It's just funny, though.
Right.
He's got his little hairpins in and his hair glue, and he's got to take that off every time he sees her. He's got a, you know, bedhead.
The disguise isn't for Martha, you know, as we said before.
No, it's to keep up appearances, walking in and out.
Right, but what an odd thing that he has to do it for the neighborhood, so to speak.
Yeah. Attention to detail.
Yeah, attention to detail. But we start out this episode. What did you think about the episode overall?
Just like all the other episodes, this is a very, very well-written show, and I hope they can keep it going. I was doing a little research, finding out, you know, when the Afghan War ended and when the Berlin Wall came down.
Right.
So we're in 1983, roughly in the middle of it right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they want to do this thing, and they should, they can do it. We can get 6 or 8 more seasons out of this. Out of this show.
Probably
easy.
Even more.
Yeah.
Because they've only gone, like, what, 2 weeks in this whole thing
so far? I hope they keep this show going, not just because I like podcasting it. I like watching it. And, as I mentioned, Martha's my girlfriend. So the Berlin Wall came down in, I think it was November of 89. And the Afghan War pullout was February of 89. So a lot happened in 89. A lot of major events, major life-changing events for people in the Soviet Union occurred in 1989, and we're just in 83.
Yeah, so they still have 6 more full years.
Yeah, so they can stretch this thing out as long as they want. I hope they do.
Even longer, because we could still hear about the breakdown of stuff afterward and what happened.
You know, and Clark could become an insurance salesman. And Elizabeth could become a yoga instructor, and they could keep going.
They could.
Yeah. And they'd be a good show.
Well, we start out this episode with Martha.
She is not happy.
She's really upset. It's really sad for her. She's looking through the window.
Drinking wine, popping Valiums like M&M's.
Yeah.
She's a little bit tore up, and I don't blame her.
Clark comes in, and you can just see how distraught he is over everything that's going on with Martha. I believe this, don't you?
I do. I do believe it. This isn't a contrived behavior. He's not putting on a show at this point for Martha. He's really, really sorry. But what do you do? He couldn't even go home to his children.
No.
And there's no way to explain all this to Martha.
Not only does she not, she's not in the know, she doesn't need to know.
She doesn't
need to know. But she wouldn't want to know. Can you imagine
how much worse
that would be for her if she knew, if he did tell her, look, I was exposed to glanders.
Yeah.
I was holed up in an apartment with my real wife.
It'd cost her 2 more Valium right there.
It's just too much. But now this is where the 2 days have passed, and she had no contact with him and everything.
She's smart, too. She puts it together that the dinner was connected to the Xerox machine. She's very, very smart.
Yeah, I don't think I necessarily put those two things together, except when we heard it, right? When and we really didn't even hear it. We just heard that Stan was suspicious.
Right. Well, they were standing over there outside, and they were talking about the copies, being unaccounted for, and then Stan comes up with the idea to go search her apartment, but she puts it together. Because, she remembers they all got counseled about the Xerox machine. And then right after that, out of the blue, Anderholt decides he wants to, get a little funky with Martha, taking her to dinner.
Well, and she's telling Clark about this. And what do you think Clark felt about that?
Nothing about him taking her to dinner.
I think he did. Nah. I think we have this recurring theme in this. And I'm going to bring it up a little bit later. I've actually got it written down, so I won't forget it. But I think we have a recurring theme. I don't think he liked it because of the obvious reasons. Because he does not want Martha caught. I think that was the overall,
sure.
The overriding
no, I agree with
thought
that.
Process
yeah.
for anything.
I think it was interesting, too. We find out, we gave her credit for coming up with that story. But actually, Philip had given her that story to use. But she did. She fired that thing off perfectly.
It was
when
just,
she needed it.
Right.
She made it seem like in her performance in that scene with Adderholt, it was her idea.
Yeah, she really did. And you're right. We did give her credit for that.
And I think later on we see that Stan and Adderholt are kind of wanting to buy into it. They're kind of wanting to believe it.
To believe Martha's story,
they are still surveilling her.
Yeah,
that's what FBI agents do. But I think
I don't know if I understand that. But Clark wants to know what they talked about, what Adderholt was talking to her about, and she goes on to say that he was talking about marriage and divorce, everything that he had even brought these things up. Martha goes on to say that when she got home, she was so stressed, and she hadn't been able to get
a
hold of him.
She had a panic attack.
Yeah, she had a panic attack. She thought she was having a heart attack. She called her doctor, and they've got Martha on Valium now.
She's taking the blue and washing them down with wine.
Yeah.
This is not good.
She can't live like this. She needs to be able to reach her husband. And then he gives her...
the secret bat phone.
He does.
Man, now this is... she has just clicked up to the next level of trust, if you ask me.
Yeah, but what about that? He gives her this number. He tears off a little scrap of paper and writes this number down on it. And he says, memorize it because I'm going to have that scrap of paper back tomorrow.
I know.
He can't give her anything,
Well, that's just, that was really shocking to me.
Yeah. Only call from a payphone. One's going to answer.
And he trusts her to do this.
Well, but and she will do it. She'll do what he said. But she is now truly like an agent of his, right? I mean, that's what they do. That's who they give that number to, or the agents, right?
I don't think anybody's got that number except Soviet agents and Soviet handlers I think that's just a way to communicate between agents. She's not a Soviet agent.
No.
She's just she's an asset.
Well, she kind of is.
She's an asset that was developed by a Soviet agent.
Yeah.
She doesn't have Soviet agent status. She never will, but...
I thought Gabriel called her an agent.
No, she's not an agent.
I'm pretty sure he called her
an
agent.
He may have called her an agent, but he didn't mean it.
Okay, he didn't mean it. He was just playing.
Yeah.
Then we see that scene where Elizabeth is asleep and Paige comes in with her 20 questions.
Careful. Sneaking up on Ninja Mom. I mean, Soviet killer spy Ninja Mom, and you're gonna walk in a dark bedroom? I mean, I don't know.
Mike, Elizabeth doesn't do anything.
Well,
bad.
That's
she
right.
She doesn't do anything where people
get
hurt.
She's a civil rights worker.
Right.
Yeah.
But Paige goes in there, and she starts firing off these 20 questions again.
Man.
She can't sleep. She wakes Elizabeth up to start asking her these questions, and Elizabeth's finally like, look, we need to back up just a little bit. We need to all take a breath with this situation. I think we might have kind of told you too much.
That kid is wearing them out. Yeah, she's wearing me out.
Come on. I mean, that's a lot of information for this teenager to ingest. But this is also where Paige says that Stan had asked her some questions about them, essentially. Paige is saying that she is uncomfortable with Henry's relationship with Stan. And I think that's fair. This kid has just learned that her parents are spies and her brother is hanging out with the FBI agent.
Next door.
I mean, like, you know, staying over there a lot and stuff.
Well, they're going to have to deal with Paige. I mean, the genie's out of the bottle on this. I mean, they've told her. They've got the fallout with Pastor Tim and his wife, and the genie is out of the bottle, and they're just going to have to deal with what comes their way on it as far as dealing with Paige. And, you know, shutting her down like that and telling her to take a breath is probably the right thing to do, but it's not doesn't satisfy Paige.
But Paige is saying that Stan asked them. Stan noticed them being gone and was asking her about Epcot and why her parents, you know,
right.
why they didn't go and everything. So she feels really kind of put. And see, she doesn't know anything, which is probably for the best. Right, as far as her answering questions and stuff.
Of course it is.
Then she brings up Pastor Tim again and everything. She's just like kind of word vomiting everything all over Elizabeth with all
She's
of the
She's having her
worries.
Own little panic attack about every time
yeah.
she sees her mom and dad.
And then we go into the intro. So all this before even the intro, we get all this. So we come back and Oleg is talking to his father. Is it Igor or Igor? I-G-O-R. And ask if he's heard anything about Nina. And this is where we
find out that he's the dad. I don't think the dad had anything to do with it at this point.
You don't?
No. I think the dad is a little put off by it, too.
Yeah, I don't know. Because that would have been so coincidental last time if it happened like that. I still don't trust it. I still think he might have had something to do with it.
I don't fully trust it, but I'm
But
I'm,
he was very believable in this
real
scene
believable
with
in
Oleg,
the scene, yeah.
for sure.
Yeah, but then Oleg takes a cheap shot at him about his brother's death. You know, you could have brought him home. You know, you're a high-ranking official.
Yeah, he's the only official that couldn't get his son out of Afghanistan.
Yeah, you could have got him home.
But then, doesn't his father kind of take a shot at him back when he says, your brother wanted to fight? He was essentially like me. He said, I lost four brothers fighting the Nazis.
I don't think that's taking
that
a shot at Oleg. I just think that's explaining. No, Oleg's serving as a spy diplomat.
But we know what his father thinks about that. He thinks it's cushy, and he's over there getting favors.
He does think it's cushy because he tells him later you can go back to your clothes and your favors to the United States.
Right.
So he doesn't have a real high opinion of his posting, no.
And he also goes into now the same bastards who won't send their kids to fight there say they can't say a word when our boys are fighting and dying, and they get no military honors at their funeral for my son who died a hero and all this kind of stuff. And then he says, go on back to America and to your special favors if that's who you are.
Yeah, Dad kind of straightens Oleg out here. And I think he's frustrated about what happened. I think he's frustrated about what happened to Nina. He couldn't do anything about it. I know he's frustrated about Oleg sitting in there quizzing him.
I think my take on it's this, and I could certainly be wrong. I think he's frustrated with Oleg. I think he thinks Oleg's weak. I think he thinks Oleg's not the patriot that he was or his brother was who just died, and I think he had something to do with getting Nina out of the picture. So he couldn't possibly be looked at his son as a traitor after losing this one son already.
That's a theory.
It's my theory.
But I think more than anything, he is becoming frustrated with senior Soviet leadership.
Maybe.
He's a patriot. He doesn't like the way things are being run. He doesn't like the war's being run. He doesn't like the way the boys are being treated when they come back.
Okay, then we go to the scene where Elizabeth comes into the travel agency office and Philip is telling her about the conversation he had with Martha and how the FBI knows about the extra copies and how Adderholt asked her out and that whole situation. Elizabeth seems like, oh, it might not be that at first, but then when he brings up Adderholt asked her out, she connects it pretty quickly, too.
Yeah, they start sharing information and put the pieces together pretty quickly here in this scene.
So Hans has evidently been following Martha to see if Martha's been followed.
But not all the time.
But not all the time, and so they're going to put Hans on that full-time.
Full-time.
Now. So that's pretty smart. And she also brings up that Paige told her about Stan asking about them not being home and missing Epcot and all that. And again, Elizabeth tells him, you need to make up with Stan.
Yeah.
This needs to happen.
She's told him that before, and now she's told him again. And they're having a little putting together of the pieces of the puzzle here. They're getting each other caught up.
Right. And everything is just one thing on top of another.
One
just
thing
keep adding
on
straws.
Top of another, and they're just managing chaos.
Yeah. So then we go into where Stan is in the vault, and he was in the vault, right?
I think so, and then
Adderholt
comes in.
And he was looking through a folder of some red-headed guy. Were we
with
supposed
a beard.
To know who that was?
I don't think so.
But Adderholt walks in, and he tells Stan what he learned about Martha, that there's a married man that she's seeing and all that.
Well, I mean, and they say that makes a lot of sense. But it's also a good cover, Adderholt adds. It makes a lot of sense regarding the secrecy, but it's also a pretty good cover. So then Stan says, well, you know, I did find a sex book in there, and a lot of pages were marked. So, you know, there's probably a guy.
And a gun.
Yeah.
But he admits to knowing about the gun.
I wonder how much, I didn't notice Stan took that much time with that sex book, but apparently he did want to study the sex book a little bit.
He sat down with it a little while.
He sat down and wanted to look
counted the pages that were.
Yeah, he wanted to. I don't know. I think Stan's maybe a little frustrated.
Okay, so then we go to the scene where Patty is in with Young Hee, and they're learning how to make sundubu jiga.
Okay.
And that's butchered that.
Yeah. Young Hee should be like, she should go on Johnny Carson. Because she's funny. She's got a sense of humor.
Well,
Young Hee's cracking me up.
Young Hee's pretty good. They're making this dish, though, and it's Korean kimchi tofu soup.
Sounds pretty good.
It's what they're, except for the tofu part. It sounds pretty good. Some recipes also replace the tofu with seafood or pork or something else, too. But it's a kimchi, really spicy kimchi soup. It's typically spicy and served boiling hot in the cooking vessel, and they crack an egg in the middle of it. It's supposed to be, like, really healthy and all this kind of stuff. So I thought that was kind of funny that it was a spicy soup, considering that they were kind of joking back and forth about her eating the pepper
right.
last time, and they're still spicing stuff up. But Young Hee is telling the story about her grandfather and her grandmother.
Yeah, asking grandmother to marry him.
Yeah, her grandfather had his brother pulling them in a rickshaw across a bridge, and he'd stop in the middle of the bridge and ask her to marry him.
Says, I'm only going to ask you this one time.
Right.
And never again.
And she couldn't answer till they got to the other side, and they get to the other side, and she'd say no.
And he'd go back.
Yeah. And he did it again. That was a really good, that's interesting story, don't you think?
Funny story.
About persistence, but they were still together. It was her grandfather and her grandmother.
Right.
So they were together.
Yeah. She got over her no. He finally got the yes. That's the moral of the story.
But he never got a yes.
I know.
She told him no the whole time.
But yet, here they
but
are.
I know. Yeah. I know. So that's...
So I don't know.
No, I wish I could have figured something out about that, but I didn't. But Young Hee says that's just her family. But then Elizabeth starts talking about her family. It's a small family. Now, she's trying to get in with Young Hee now, right? She's telling her this story... What, to try to relate on some level or something? Did you get anything about that? She said that it was only her and her dad and her brother. Her mom left when she was 10. Her dad fell into depression for years.
No, I didn't get anything out of that.
And Young Hee kind of jokes with her and says she knows how to kill a party. In place of, you know, like, going into that. You know how a lot of people will go, oh, I'm so, so sorry.
Right, or instead of telling a funny story of her own, she went into a tragic
yeah.
story.
She's definitely trying to relate to Young Hee in some way about something or give her some kind of information. I don't know. I really think this will play out in some way. I don't know how. But then we go to Oleg's brother's funeral. That was pretty sad, didn't you think?
Sad occasion. It sure was. It's a pretty sad occasion. It was much different than an American soldier's funeral. He pulled his gun out, though, and fired off a few rounds.
Yeah, it startled Oleg. Oleg went over to hug one of the other soldiers,
Oleg, yeah.
and he kind of did it himself. He's like, even though they're not going to let us do this.
He's going to give his son some military honors from one soldier to another, his dad.
From his father, yeah. Okay, then we go to the scene where Philip and Paige are watching Ronald Reagan give the speech.
That was funny. And then Elizabeth even laughed at that. She's talking about how young people were getting involved politically.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth started laughing. And then everybody says, what?
Elizabeth was making fun of him, though. And Paige didn't like that. Did you see her conflict with that?
I think she was laughing at what he said, too.
No, she's... Well, maybe what he said, too, but she said, look at him. His cheeks are red. He looks like a clown. She was definitely making fun of Reagan. And Paige didn't like it. You could tell she was really put off by this. Because, so, she's not... She hasn't bought their...
No, the Soviet Union is good, America is bad thing.
No.
No, she hadn't bought into that fully at all.
And
or
she's...
At any degree, as far as I know.
She's offended by it, I think. I think she's offended by the way, like we would be if we heard somebody making fun. Kind of. I don't know. I felt like she was offended. Elizabeth says that she was with a friend, and Henry said, I didn't know you had friends. So they're kind of teasing.
Yeah, she started quizzing her mom again. Where have you been? As soon as she walked in. Remember?
Yeah.
Where have you been?
Right. Well, because she doesn't know what she's doing when she's out. She's just got enough information that her imagination can run away with her. She doesn't know what Elizabeth's doing. So every time Elizabeth's not there and doesn't tell her what she, you know, I'm at the grocery store or something, her mind's going to run rampant as to what Elizabeth's out doing. But Paige and Philip had made a tuna noodle casserole, and there's leftovers. So Elizabeth's going to get some food, and they won't pay. Paige tries to leave. She's doing this thing again. She did it before where, you know, they'd come in the room and she'd just leave. But she's doing it, kind of trying to do this again. And so she tries to leave and they're like, you know, stay, keep your mom company, Philip tells her. And then they tell her that they're going to see Pastor Tim later.
Right.
And they'll let her know how it goes when they get back.
Yeah, they're trying to bring her in as much as they can.
Right. Well, we go to a commercial and we come back, and Pastor Tim and Alice are waiting at the church.
Boy, they look tense, don't they?
They do, but they don't really look tense enough for me. They're very tense, and they're very, you know, but I think if they really knew the situation, they might even be a little more tense. Okay, so then we meet Father Rivas.
Yeah, they bring in the El Salvadorian priest. That was perfect. Here's a testimonial from somebody we helped.
Well, not only that, but Philip... Okay, Philip says that they're very involved with human rights problems in El Salvador, so they developed a contact in the American government that let them know that something was about to take place over there. And Father Rivas says they gave him a warning, so he was able to leave this church with his people or whatever in the middle of the night. And he later heard that the death squad, or he later heard, I think, the death squads or whatever. So, I mean, this was like, he just got them out in the nick of time, and they've got Alice hooked. She's like, oh, you know.
Yeah, sitting. Yeah, she's sitting there. She's seeing the whole thing they're painting for her. Definitely. I think Tim's still a little skeptical.
Do you think he is?
Yeah.
They
mentioned CISPUS. Did you look up, do any research on CISPUS?
I looked it up, yeah.
Committee in Solidarity with the People of El Salvador.
Well, Pastor Tim says that he works with CISPUS. So they had to have known this about him, to have gotten an El Salvadorian priest to come in and talk about all the good that Philip and Elizabeth are doing for El Salvador, right?
Probably.
Father Rivas agrees that CISPUS is good, but these people, Philip and Elizabeth, they protected him, and he wouldn't be here without them.
Yeah, he's really talking up Philip and Elizabeth and their role in this, you know, protecting the church or,
right,
or this organization or whatever.
Right. Philip says that he can't say his government doesn't do bad things, and he can't even say that people don't get hurt, but it's not because of them. They're going into, I think they're trying to relate to Pastor Tim and Alice. You know, you feel this way about this, and so do we. We're on the same team.
Right.
So to
speak. You're working this end, and this is the end that we're working, and we have a lot of similarities, and we have a lot in common, and we should work together
right,
not apart.
Well, and everyone is staring each other directly in the eye. I don't know if you noticed that they took like a couple of seconds at the end of this scene where no one's looking sheepish or confused or anything. It's almost like they're assessing each other. You know how people will do that?
Well, they're trying to make a judgment on who's telling the truth.
It's pretty intense. And then we see Philip and Elizabeth drop him off in a neighborhood.
So you think he was really a priest?
Yeah.
I have no
idea.
I
don't even know who he was.
No, that's funny. That's funny.
So they go into the house and tell Paige what happened, and that they had a good talk. And
she's waiting right there for them.
About all the good things they do in the world.
They need a blowgun for this kid or something. I mean, really. When they walk in and she starts, What happened? And hit her with a tranquilizer dart. Put her little ass out until the next day or something.
Yeah, but they told her that they'd tell her. I thought they wanted her to set up. Because if she set up, then there's no chance of Henry overhearing and all that kind of stuff. I thought they kind of asked her to set up. But yeah, she's definitely enthusiastic about hearing, well, everything. But this is where they tell her that she has to make up with Pastor
Tim.
And
she doesn't like that.
No. No. And here she goes. She's walking away again. And Philip says, hey, he really cares about you. And after she's gone, Elizabeth asks Philip if this is going to work. We hear a lot of questions at the end of these scenes this time that nobody even attempts to answer. Okay, so then we see Oleg. He's back at the embassy getting condolences.
Yeah, he returns to America.
And he goes in to talk to Arkady. Now, what did you think about that situation?
Arkady was a little shocked, and I think Arkady's reaction was similar to his dad's, if the dad was genuine. I think that Arkady tried to somehow justify the execution. They don't kill people for no reason, he told Oleg. Yeah. But I think he's still bothered by it, though. And in fact, I know he is. You can tell it in his body language and his voice.
Well, you can tell he is. He's upset about it, and then he gets angry. And at first I thought he was angry at them doing that. And then I think he was really angry at Nina, because he was like, I vouched for her. I told them she still had good left to do in her, and she had chance after chance.
He thinks it made him look bad.
That's what I think.
You know, you may have something there. Those people are very unforgiving at the center.
Well, right. I mean, you know, he doesn't want to. That's not the situation where you'd want to vouch for somebody and them turn out to be a traitor, you know, or continuing to do traitorous
activity. No, and it turns into something so bad that they finally execute her.
He offers Oleg a drink, but Oleg refuses. I think Oleg's taken aback. Oleg's upset here. I think he thought Arkady would be upset and was maybe a little surprised and put off that instead of being upset, he seemed angry. I don't think Oleg was expecting that. I think he came back to America and he thought, okay, my father doesn't get it, but Arkady's going to get it. He's going to get my feeling over this because he knew Nina and all this, and that it didn't turn out like that for him.
Well, that and he just come back from burying his brother,
right?
And I think he's just feeling the pressure.
Yeah. Well, then we go to a commercial and we come back, and this is where Martha's getting off the bus and Hans is watching her, and then Hans sees that green LTD with license tag 04.
Yep, he sure does. He goes straight for the payphone. He calls and alerts Philip. And Philip gets out of there.
Okay, why did Philip have to leave? Do you know? Because I wasn't 100% sure. Okay, Philip left in such a way that he was essentially going down one direction of the building as Martha was coming up the other direction. So he didn't even have to pass her and answer any questions or anything.
Right.
Were they afraid that Adderholt was going to go in?
No, but they were prepared. This was protocol. This was protocol. He was notified that she had a tail on her, and the protocol was get out of there. The apartment may be burned, so they prepared for the worst and hoped for the best. This was their protocol.
But he couldn't even pass her in the hallway and say, go on up, I can't be here.
No, that's not protocol. This was their protocol. If he could have done that, he would have.
Okay, I just didn't really understand why he had to leave.
No time.
So much like that. But did you notice he took the tapes out of the answering machine?
Plus, what if there's somebody on the back door? And he grabs Martha and says, look, we got to get out of here. And they both go out the back door. And there's Martha with the guy they're looking for. And they get the pictures of him.
But that's not what I didn't say with Martha. Just passed her in the hall and said something.
But then you got to explain to Martha why she can't leave with you. I mean, so much information has to be exchanged while you're losing valuable time getting your little Russian spy butt out of there.
Martha walks inside and saying hello, and then she notices he's not there, but he's also taken their picture. So he's taken everything. He took the tapes, and he took her picture.
Anything that could connect him to that apartment.
So how deep do you think this deception goes? Meaning, do they have a whole identity, like a whole married man identity set up that for Clark, for the guy Martha's seeing, like...
I don't know.
Okay. Adderholt and Stan would be able to find out who Martha's seeing, correct? They're not just going to just go and watch her walk into some strange building, I'm assuming. They're going to find out who lives there, who has the apartment she's going into, who this person is. Because why wouldn't you?
First, they have to identify the location.
But they've got that.
They've got the location. Now they can run all of the... If they want to go that far. And if, for sure, she's being tailed. Because remember, Hans just reported that he thought he saw a tail.
No, but she is being tailed.
She is being tailed, but at this point, they're unsure of
anything.
I know,
but my point is, how deep does this deception go? How deeply...
Have they got Clark set up?
Yeah.
We don't know that at this point.
No, I know. So I'm asking you what you think.
I haven't thought about it. So
like,
I'm not qualified to answer.
Like, do they maybe have like a whole family situation? Like somebody that they can point to? Like, this is the guy?
Maybe.
Maybe this apartment is in... Maybe your name. Stan and Adderholt are going to find out. They're going to find out who the married man is. I mean, that would just make sense because otherwise Martha could be going in there and, I mean, if they're suspicious of her, she could be going in there and meeting with a spy for all they know.
They have less a chance. They have less of a chance now to find out because Philip is suspicious.
Knows that they're onto.
Yeah, these people are good at avoiding... surveilling FBI agents.
Right.
So far, they've been fantastic. Otherwise, they would have, caught Elizabeth when she was walking down the sidewalk, when she kicked Adderholt's ass.
Well, Paige is in Pastor Tim's office telling him that she is supposed to tell him she forgives him. Now, what's this whole thing about? She was so upset over telling him too much before. And now she goes in there and says, my parents say I need to tell you this, in place of just going in there and making nice with him like they wanted her to, right?
I think that Paige is just going to be Paige to a degree, but she did have a fantastic, fantastic line for Pastor Tim when she told him they seem to like you. We're on the same side.
Right.
So that, from her... given her volatility, and to hear that, because I think Pastor Tim trusts Paige in what Paige says, because Paige will say anything. So he knows that she just blab everything. So everything that she comes out of her mouth, I think Pastor Tim, because she's the one who originally shared this information with Pastor Tim, and now she's saying, I'm supposed to come in here and do this. So she's being honest. I think he senses her honesty. So when she comes out with, they seem to like you, they say we're on the same side.
Right. They say he's a good guy and we're on the same side.
Right. I don't think Pastor Tim thinks that statement was planted, because she's already demonstrated that she doesn't like to say things that somebody tells her to say.
Well, that's true. She does say that she feels a little clearer on her parents now. She says her parents believe in something. They love her. They told her the truth when she asked. But then she says something that was pretty profound, too. She goes, maybe it was a mistake.
Yeah.
Telling her.
Yep.
So.
And then she goes into her opinion of what adults do versus what they tell you to do. So she kind of explores the whole, the old do as I say, not as I do concept of adults' relationships with children,
Yeah. Yeah, she kind of had that thrown in there, I think. So then we go to the scene where Hans is talking to Philip in the car about what he's seen.
Hans and Philip have their little debrief. Philip is really good. These guys are really good at gathering information and analyzing information in the field and making adjustments. I think they've taken this part where they didn't have to.
Right.
And shown us these scenes so that they can show how they disseminate information, analyze information, and, what they decide to kick upstairs and what they decide to handle on their own,
Yeah.
Like, they handle a certain amount on their own. A certain amount they take to Gabriel. And a certain amount they keep to themselves.
But I thought Philip, the way he was asking these questions, it made me feel like that Philip almost wanted Hans to break protocol to help Martha. Did you get that feeling?
I did not get that feeling.
From what he was saying, because he says... he's asking him a bunch of, was there a car blocking you, your view, you know, and all that.
Which
kind
would
of
have
stuff.
Been purposeful if they thought that somebody was looking for a tail.
Absolutely. So I
definitely do not think they're going to want Hans, inexperienced Hans, to break protocol in any way.
Well, I wouldn't think they would either, but I think we're seeing, the only reason I say this is because I think we're seeing Philip in his, he's really being torn over Martha, but not about that. He asked him if he went to the apartment to see if they actually went in. And Hans said, well, no, I shouldn't do that, right? Because if I were seen here and then I were seen there, that would be bad, right?
Right.
And Philip kind of says, yeah, but we know that Philip wanted that information.
He wanted that information, and that's a great point. And I hadn't considered that. So you may have, or maybe Philip's thoughts are just running away with him.
Maybe.
And he forgot just momentarily, hey, that's not protocol.
Because of Martha. Either, I think he either forgot that that wouldn't be a good thing to do, like you just said, or he had kind of wanted Hans to do it, even though maybe Hans shouldn't have done it.
That's a great point, Michelle.
So then we go to the girl who's answering the phones, and she's
Martha calls
watching
the,
TV.
Martha calls the center. Yeah, this girl, she's a Russian spy loving American entertainment.
Yep. But she's really delicate with Martha. She says, Philip told me you might call, because now this is right after Martha's went to the apartment to meet him, to meet Clark, and Clark's not there, right? So Philip actually called this girl, or
yeah,
contacted
and
this
so
girl.
So she's
and said,
expecting the call.
Right, and said, look, I
Which
had to
good.
Bail on Martha, so this. So anyway, Martha is calling from a payphone, and she gives her the number, and Philip's going to call, or Clark's going to call her back. Okay, and then we go to where Philip and Elizabeth are going to meet a still ailing Gabriel in a parking garage. And they start telling him about Hans, the car he saw, telling Martha he's pretty sure, and that whole situation.
And he relates to Gabriel. He clearly wants to protect Martha. This is important to him. He clearly wants Martha protected.
Who does?
Philip, when he's talking to Gabriel.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, he's pretty adamant about that. But Gabriel does tell him that if it's only suspicion, they still have a better story, Jean, and not to worry about it.
I don't think that satisfies him much. I think Philip and Elizabeth both care for their assets. I think they both care about what happens to their assets.
Oh, sure. Well, sure. Well, Philip tells Gabriel about the copies unaccounted for on the Xerox machine she uses. And Gabriel says it's also very possible that they're surveilling everybody, every single person in that office. And that was a great point when I didn't think about.
Fantastic.
And that she may not be blown. But
and they start talking about William.
But they'll do what they can to protect her. But these surveillance reports are very important, and they start saying, can she take a camera in? Well, good grief.
Yeah, no
can you
way.
Imagine?
Yeah.
But Philip won't even hear it.
Mm-mm.
And Elizabeth says, well, what about just memorizing? Get her to memorize the dates. And Philip's like, no. I mean, Philip's just like,
yeah, he puts his foot down.
Yeah, he's really upset about it. And then she asks about William, about seeing William again. Like,
he complains a lot, but he's a patriot.
Can we talk just a minute about what might happen if Martha does get caught?
She'd be arrested for treason.
She would, of course. But what would happen? What chain of events would that set into action? I mean, Martha doesn't really know anything. She really doesn't know anything. Right? She doesn't have
a
picture.
Yeah, she'd be arrested for treason and she wouldn't be an asset anymore. That's
she wouldn't be an asset, but I wonder if she would try to. Once she knew, these are KGB spies, turn and tell what she did know. And, I mean, now she does have that phone number, right? Which, I mean, you know, you get the number changed or whatever. But, I mean, you know. And would the KGB allow her to live once she got arrested?
That's a great point. We could spend hours discussing that one.
If Martha gets caught, what's going to happen? Is she going to turn? What information does she know? Well, that's going to determine how far they would let her go toward getting caught or something.
They're so good at covering. They're not nothing. The only thing that's going to happen, in my opinion, would be Martha would be blown. They would have a composite sketch of Philip.
I don't think so. They don't let these people get like that They don't let them. They kill them. They kill them.
Well, then they'd kill her.
And they might even task Philip with that, because they don't let these people.
I don't think they'd task turn Philip on them.
But Gabriel says the fact that they care about people is what make them such good agents. And then he says if they slow down just a little and see if the sinner, that they should just slow down a little and see if the sinner picks anything up now. We had talked about that, and this is something that may come back. After last week's episode, I listened to West Coast Projects, the Americans episode. Mike and Jamie were talking about some things that they had heard about stuff that was still going on, and they were just kind of talking about that Philip is still seeing Kimmy. That's still going on. The young girl, the young girl, every couple weeks. And they're still maintaining all of these relationships that they've got with people when all this other stress stuff that we're seeing is going on. They also pointed out that Mel Robot is still bugged. Now, you and I were talking last week about the conversation that Adderholt and Stan had, and I think they were really close to Mel Robot when they had that
I think you're right.
conversation. So if Gabriel is waiting on information from the center, it could be that once the center gets all caught up on these tapes, they could actually hear the conversation between Adderholt and Stan where they mistrust Martha.
And you think then they'll want to make a move on Martha?
Not necessarily. I just think that it will put some other aspect into play, that's all, when they know for sure. Now they don't know if she's really a suspect of anything, if she's really being, like, seriously tailed, or if it's just something that's going on with everybody, if anything's going on at all. But if they hear them talking about that they think something's going on with Martha, and somebody's going to ask her out so somebody else can go through her apartment, that's a bigger deal, don't you think?
Yeah.
So, anyway, I just thought that was kind of interesting how all that kind of came back around. But, then they start talking about William, William thing. He complains a lot, but Gabriel says they need to remind him he's been here for 25 years and he's accomplished virtually nothing.
That he is on the verge of just getting something that may tip the balance of power if there's a war.
If there's a war.
And he'll be brought home as a hero.
Yep.
And this is a great time to point out that in the 80s, there was the real threat of a Soviet USA war.
Right.
And it was always there. Thermonuclear destruction, a war maybe exploding in Europe. It was always there. As a matter of fact, it was almost considered an eventuality. It was almost considered that it was inevitable. We were eventually going to go to war with the Soviet Union. I know we felt that way in the Navy.
No, but it was a big deal. Anything to do with the Soviets was a big deal.
Anything to do with the Soviet Union, and you know, that's why they called it the Cold War. There was very little communication between the two countries, almost none. They didn't share anything. They didn't work together on anything. They were sworn enemies of, you know, each country against the other. Thought it was great, but what
you
Gabriel
thought was great.
The point that Gabriel made.
Oh, okay.
You know, if there's a war between the two countries.
But Gabriel goes into a coughing fit, and then he asks about Tim and Alice. They say they're working on it. I think we got to point out here, too, that Gabriel's still sick. Man, he was sick.
He's pretty sick.
He was really having a hard time. Okay, then Oleg goes to meet with Stan in the dark, drizzly night.
Stan is shocked.
He is.
He is stunned. Shocked and stunned and deeply saddened.
He is shook up. And I think Oleg feels bad when he sees Stan's reaction, so he starts. Stan tells Oleg that when he joined counterintelligence, he knew this could happen, but, and he can't even, like, finish his sentence, and Oleg finishes it for him and says, but Nina, you know. So, then Oleg goes on to tell him about his father, and when his father was young, he fought the Nazis, and they were heroes, but now they can't even say the war his brother died in at his funeral.
He's contrasting his dad's war experience with the current war that the Soviet Union is involved with in Afghanistan.
Okay, now I think Stan here had the reaction that Oleg thought thought and wanted to see from Arcady, and I think this might be the tipping point in their friendship or whatever you would call their relationship that they have, their interaction with one another. Because Oleg, we haven't seen him be very forthcoming. We haven't seen him say anything other than just like necessary words to Stan up until this point. Stan's kind of talked to him, but Oleg has not. And Oleg sees Stan react like that, and it mimics how he felt. And we'll hear Stan just a little bit later bring up that he doesn't have a lot of friends. So I've got some other things to talk about with that too. But we go to Martha, and she's sitting beside the payphone, and it rings, and it's Philip, and he asks if she's okay. And
no, she, it's Clark. It's Clark. Or is it Philip?
I'm sorry. No, you're wait. Right.
No, no, no. No? No, 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 Michelle. Is it Clark, or is it Philip?
Well, this is Philip that's calling her.
Okay.
But it's Clark. She asks if he can come tomorrow night, and he says they need to stick to Tuesday. He knows now that he can't make any moves with her right now. Because he's really fearful of what's going on with her, and he hates that.
And Martha is feeling the pressure.
Her voice breaks when she says, well, then you've got to be there. If it's going to be Tuesday, you've got to be there on Tuesday. She's just all tore up, and he assures her that he will, and he says he loves her, and she says, tell me on Tuesday, and hangs up the phone.
She's wanting something solid in a situation where he's just unable to give her anything.
And he feels so bad. So he's looking through this payphone booth at Elizabeth, looking at him. And what was that look she gave him? I mean, she was like really giving him a look.
Do you think Elizabeth is getting jealous of Martha?
Yes, I do.
Do you really?
I do. I do. And I'm going to go into it in just a little bit. In just a little bit.
Hmm.
Do you think he meant it? Do you think he does love Martha?
I think he might. I think he might.
I think he does. Okay, so they get home and they check on Paige, and she's laying there like she's asleep, but she says, you were right, Father, or Pastor Tim, almost said Father Gabriel. Yeah. Pastor Tim cares about me. He was nice and all that kind of stuff, and they just let it go.
Did you think that this was progress? That instead of walking in and her just being sitting on ready to attack him with questions, now they come home and they find her in the bed. Do you think this was a little progress for her, that she's maybe taking a breath here?
No, I don't think it's progress at all. I think it's regression. She's going back to what she was doing before. This is what we saw before they told her everything. It was the whole sullen, turned away from you, not showing you anything.
Yeah, but she spoke to him and she said, you were right.
Yeah, but she's already said to Pastor Tim that she doesn't like what they're saying.
I saw it as progress.
Okay, I don't at all.
Okay.
I think we're just getting into maybe bigger trouble. I didn't like how she went to Pastor Tim and said, my parents said I had to come say this, when she knows she is again not putting the family first when she says stuff like that. If a parent tells you you need to go make up with somebody, you don't go to that person and say, my parents said I had to come make up with you. I mean, that's not being honest and respectful to the parent situation, to the ones who told you to do that.
Yeah,
that's
but it's
almost
just Paige.
Being passive-aggressive.
Everything that comes out of Paige's mouth is the first thing she thinks about. Let's go back for just a minute, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
When they're tailing Martha, I forgot to bring this up.
Mm-hmm.
They were tailing Martha, and she got off that bus. Did you notice she got off a bus?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Adderholt was coming around the corner and following her.
Yeah.
She got off the bus. Did you notice what the bus said, where it was going?
Mm-mm.
Friendship Heights. Friendship Heights is a suburb of in northwest Washington, D.C., and southern Montgomery County, Maryland. Okay, it's like, if you look at Washington, D.C., it's on the, you know, Washington, D.C. looks like a diamond.
Right.
And it's on the upper northwest corner. And I wanted to try to see how far out she's meeting with, Philip. And so I ran the miles, and I didn't really have a point of reference because I don't know Philip and Elizabeth's address, but in Alexandria, Virginia, is about 33 minutes away. So Clark's got this apartment set up that's probably 20 to 30 minutes away from where they live in Virginia. And I just thought that was interesting. This is how far out, you know, they've put the apartment.
Is that far in that area, though?
See, that's another thing. There's a lot of traffic in this area. A lot of traffic. And the traffic's just increased over the years.
Okay, so Matthew is coming home to this weird scene where Henry's in there talking about a movie and hanging out with Stan. But Stan,
and what movie are they talking about?
They're talking about Max Dugan Returns. It's a movie that's coming on.
Also
at the
establishes
theater.
A timeline. Came out in 1983. It's a comedy drama. Jason Robards, Kiefer Sutherland, and Donald Sutherland were both in this movie. Also, your favorite actor, Matthew Broderick.
Right.
Yeah.
But also, the gist of the movie, did you get the gist? The gist of the movie is about a guy who never spent much time with his family.
Yeah. Yeah.
Until something bad happens, he gets ill. And then he wants to come back and visit his family and gets close to the grandson, but there's a suspicious police officer that is his daughter's boyfriend.
Isn't that neat?
So it's kind of, yeah, that was kind of cool. But Henry's just kind of all over Matthew. Hey, Matthew, I'm glad you're here. You know, in his own home, Matthew's own home. Do you want to play a game? Do you want to go to a movie? Let's go get pizza. Let's do this. And Henry's just kind of all over. Matthew looks uncomfortable. So this is where I'm going to start drawing some parallels. Now, you tell me what you think, okay?
Okay.
I think there might be some parallels in these last two scenes about being replaced. Elizabeth sees Philip's interaction just a little bit in that phone booth with Martha, and she knows that she has to accept and work within this situation that she's put in. But Elizabeth does not want to be replaced. And then in this next scene, she worries that she and Philip are being replaced as parents. Not yet. We're not there yet. But in the next scene, because Henry's spending so much time with Stan, and she's like, why wouldn't he play with kids his age? Why does he want to hang out with the adults? And, you know, it's like a jealousy, worried about being replaced. Matthew seems uncomfortable when he's walked in because I think he's feeling replaced.
And Henry's piled up on his couch.
Right, like the son. Almost like he's being replaced as the son, but we see that he makes the best of it.
And he has that,
and he
Henry has that
within
friendly
it.
Interaction with Stan. Are you smoking drugs? Are you high? Remember
right.
He asked him, are you high?
Right.
Stan said, I don't think so, and
right.
They're playing back and forth.
Yeah.
Like they're chummy.
Right. They have this whole
No,
thing.
That's a good point. I hadn't considered that.
So I think we're seeing this, and there may even be another time that something like that comes up, because there was a couple things in here. But we see that Elizabeth, at the very end of this episode, she reminds Philip, I don't want to be replaced, don't you think?
It was a pretty...
The very last scene.
We'll talk more about that.
Yeah, I guess so. Elizabeth's folding sheets, and Philip comes in to get some water, and she's complaining, like I said, about Henry.
Now, wait a minute. Do you think that she's folding these sheets correctly? Would these sheets and pillowcases she's folding, would they pass? The question I had when I was watching her fold mm-hmm. these sheets, would you let Elizabeth fold your sheets? Because you don't like the way I fold sheets.
Yeah, she did a fine job.
So Elizabeth doing okay?
She's doing okay.
Okay.
But Philip isn't talking too much, and she knows that he's bothered about Martha, and she goes, you know, she asks him when he gets to see Martha again. He says Tuesday, and she says they'll know by then for sure if she's being followed or not. And she says, and truthfully, Gabriel isn't wrong. It was just one bad sign with Hans, but Philip says that it can move too fast. I mean, Philip's really upset about this, and then he offers to go get Henry. So they're playing Trivial Pursuit, and Henry's reading the question, who was Howdy Doody's brother?
That's hilarious.
And Double Doody? I mean, did you ever even heard of that?
I never knew anything about that.
But you're right. They were having this really kind of funny conversation where Stan goes, do you think I was an FBI agent when I was 8?
Yeah, and Matthew said,
kinda.
Yeah.
And then he serves them hot pizza, and the boys joke a little bit together about Henry biting into the hot pizza. And the doorbell rings, and it's Philip, and he asks if he can talk to Stan before he gets Henry.
Stan looks a little uncomfortable.
He does, but I mean, Stan's got his kid over there. I mean, there's going to be some interaction.
Which, I know, they just haven't spoken since the incident.
Right, but by the way, I'm going to say this. I think that's really mature on both of their parts, that the kid got to still have this relationship on both Stan and their parts. Because a lot of times if parents get mad, they're going to mouth in front of the kids.
Oh, yeah,
like
yeah.
That.
Especially down south here. You go all Hatfield and McCoy on somebody immediately.
But Philip says that he should have told him about S and about talking to Sandra, but he was a wimp and he's sorry. And then Stan calls him an asshole. And Philip's like, well, I thought wimp was enough. Yeah. But this is where Stan says he doesn't have a bunch of friends, and if Philip hadn't noticed that, but he knows Philip wouldn't do anything, but he's not so sure about Sandra.
He tells Philip that he's a good guy.
Yeah, yeah. And then, oh my gosh.
Isn't that funny, though, coming from the FBI agent who works counterintelligence to the top-ranking Russian spy in the area?
Yeah, but then Stan hurt my feelings. He wants to know if Sandra had anything to say about him.
And then he is so happy to hear what she said about him.
Yeah, because Philip's truthful. Philip says that she thought she was too hard on Stan.
Yeah.
And Stan's just stunned again. Yeah. You can see it on his face.
Happily stunned.
Yeah. But Henry hears them. They're reading another Trivial Pursuit question about who was the first non-human to win an Oscar, and Philip guesses Lassie. But we find out it's Mickey Mouse, and Stan knows because he's the Trivial Pursuit genius.
Stan Beeman is a Trivial Pursuit machine.
But Henry wants to stay later and watch Rocky Horror Picture Show with Matthew in place of going home.
We don't want to get started on Rocky Horror Picture Show, do we? Because we lived through that.
No, but I do think it's kind of cool, just to bring it up, that they are hitting on... There's so much big about the 80s, and it's just like they just don't miss a beat with this, right? They hit on every big thing. Do you remember when Rocky Horror Picture Show used to come on, like the 12 o'clock showing?
Everybody would dress up and go out and throw toast. Did you ever go?
No.
Don't be remorseful. I never did either, and I'm happy about it.
I was young. I didn't go.
Rocky Horror Picture. Do you know that the guy that played Riff Raff in that show, wrote that show? He was an unemployed actor in like the early 70s, and he wrote that thing in the early 70s. And then he went on later to play Riff Raff in the movie. I looked up some stuff on it, and I didn't look up too much stuff on it because there is a...
Well, it's
ton.
It has a cult following.
It does have a cult following.
I want to know what he's doing now. Do you know what Riff Raff's doing now?
It's a... Get, listen to all these adjectives. It is a British-American musical horror comedy.
Wow.
That's enough right there for me to say, for that reason, I'm out. It was shot in England. That's a perfect subject for a trivia game, don't you think?
Oh,
I mean, they
sure
could have their own, you know...
Their own Trivial Pursuit,
yeah.
Pursuit board. Their own Trivial Pursuit whole edition.
Yeah, we didn't have... Did we have Dungeons and Dragons back then? Or was it all stuff like Rocky Horror? Because this was an event. I mean, this was people just. I mean, they loved.
And they'd go see it again and again.
And they would play out the scenes in the theater while
right.
it was going on.
But how much fun? I mean, what kind of good wholesome ask? I mean, I haven't seen it, so maybe not. But. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It just kind of reeks of a simpler time.
They still
it?
Have conventions today. They still have Rocky Horror conventions today. Did you know this?
No.
Yeah.
But I'm not surprised. Was this like one of the first cult following movies, maybe? Because
I
was young, but I don't really remember any really cult following. Some of the Dawn of the Deads and stuff like that, right? That was...
You know,
a little before.
When I was six, I really wasn't aware of much cult following stuff.
Me either.
Yeah.
I know. Anyway, a car horn beeps and Stan says he's got to go to work and tells Matthew not to stay up late. So then we go over to Elizabeth's house and she's doing the laundry and she hears the car and she sees Stan introduce Philip to Adderholt, who's picking
know.
Him up.
And she's looking out the window and here's this agent who's next door that she beat him on the street. And he's right
with
next door.
Agent Gadd.
That's a little too close. If I were Elizabeth, I'd be on the phone right now with Martha borrowing some Valium.
Would you?
Yeah, because this is a Valium moment right here.
And this is where...
Imagine what that would feel like.
I can't imagine. I can't. And this is where David Bowie and Queen's Under Pressure starts to play.
Oh, I know. You know, that song only made it to 29. I looked it up in the U.S. It topped at 29.
Well, but it's been 29 ever since, though, right? Because, I mean, it's still...
No.
I mean... But the kids even know that song is the point, you know? I mean, it's not like the song is... I mean, it's still played. It's still played all the time. It's a pretty common song.
It's a great song.
And how perfectly did they time the, just like Misty Blue last episode, could they have timed this song with this scene any better?
No, they couldn't. The lyrics matched almost every scene they showed.
I know.
And it was a perfect song to fit in at this perfect spot. It came out in 81. It was Queen's first number one hit since Bohemian Rhapsody in 1975. Only made it to 29 U.S. It was listed, though, as VH1's, it was number 31 in VH1's top 100.
Hmm.
And it was played at every Queen concert from 1981 to 1986. They played it at every concert. That's how much
people
liked it. Now, what else is interesting, and I won't go into too much more, but this is worth noting. Do you remember when Vanilla Ice got sued? He was using the bass line for his debut song, his debut album, Ice Ice Baby. He used their bass line.
I don't think he ever admitted that. I think
yes, he did. Oh, later he did.
He did admit it,
and then he paid him some money for it. And he denied it at first. And he tried to say, no, their song goes, dum 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 dum, and mine goes, dum 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 dum. Remember when we saw that?
Yeah, I do remember.
We saw him at this interview, and he was trying to explain that, and that was hilarious. But he wrote that song in 1983, and he did steal their bass line, and he did pay for it later, monetarily.
Well, we see Martha, she's sitting all alone, and she's taking her Valium.
What you said, though, just the lyrics illustrate exactly what's going on.
Oh, I know.
Right now in these people's lives. It's almost like they cut the song, they created the song to go with the end of this episode.
Right. Then we go to Philip coming in and telling Elizabeth that she'll never believe who he just met. And then she points out that it was the guy that she fought with Gad when she lost the Afghan task force list. Then Philip stands there and goes, but that's the one who took Martha out to dinner. And they're both sitting there going, just kind of, oh, no.
How close.
And then Elizabeth asks if Henry's coming home, but he's going to watch the movie with Matthew. Elizabeth asks if he wants to eat, and he says he's not hungry. And she says, we'll know more by Tuesday. She's doing her best to make him feel better. And then she says, we'll do everything we can for her. And he says, yeah. And that still doesn't make Philip feel better. So she
tries something else to make Philip
better. She tries something
else to make him feel better. And instead of taking my advice and calling Martha for some of her Valium, she approaches stress relief in an entirely
different way. And while that's going on, Adderholt and Stan are listening to a ball game in the car outside. They're surveilling, right?
Yeah, they're sitting there watching Martha's apartment.
And Martha's lying alone, awake in bed, and Elizabeth and Philip are having a distraction as the words, this is our last dance, is playing.
I know it. It's perfect.
And then they like fade to black, and they're still playing the tune, just the end of it.
Right.
Tune. Perfect. So next week, we see that Adderholt and Stan are still after Martha. Gabriel tells someone that what they did was wrong, and Martha is in tears, saying, I'm never going home, am I?
I know. Well, yeah, but you can't put any of that stuff. None of it really means anything.
I know,
they just take these little sound bites
and
teases.
I know, but we have to say something.
Yeah. That was a stressful episode. Would you agree?
It was stressful. It was.
I'm pretty stressed out. Are you pretty stressed out?
It wasn't as exciting, I don't guess, as the last episode as far as like stuff going on. But man, we got a lot of information in this episode, I thought. But we hope you'll connect with us here at Tribal Rant and become part of our American Reds podcast. So, Mike, how do people tweet you if they have questions, comments, suggestions?
Yeah, a little constructive criticism. Like, I can take it. At Mike from TN.
And I'm at Michelle from TN. Also, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/TribalRant. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn, so you can subscribe to us there. Please like us and rate us if you like what we're doing. And, of course, all this information is on TribalRant.com, where you can email us or leave us a message. We'd love to hear from you. Don't forget, we have a Fear the Walking Dead podcast here on Tribal Rant. We just started that this past week. So if you like that show, check it out. Also, we have a Survivor podcast we do every week. So if you guys like Survivor, check that out. It's called The Tribe Has Spoken. If you can't get enough of the Americans, we can't blame you. Our friends Mike and Jamie over at West Coast Project do a The Americans podcast. It's really good. So if you still want more and want to hear different views, check them out on westcoastproject.com. So if you don't have anything else, then we'll be back next week for episode 6. You know what it's called?
Let me guess.
Yeah.
I have no guess.
The Rat.
Oh, my goodness. Is it like, wait, is this The Sopranos or?
I don't know. Or is it like Pizza Rat? I don't know. The Rat. So, we'll see next week.
We'll find out next week.
Okay. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.